Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
It's the best news possible still, and it's true for Auburn. It's just less best news possible. Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. Auburn had a spring game, and it changed nothing about what eventually I calmed down to think. Following the bowl game, I was like, somebody, what do you think about Auburn's quarterback next year? I don't know. And grumble. I was like, I don't know. But then you exhale, and you're like, bowl game, hard to tell. This day, yeah, still a fail. I mean, you show up, you got to, you know, some effort and some production. But then you take a more exhaled view of things, and you realize, yeah, Peyton Thorne, he's probably going to be the quarterback. And there's the transfer portal to come, and Lord knows, folks are getting there. And then that was over, and you're like, yeah, he's going to be the quarterback. And then spring practice started, and you realized that the others vying for the spot, the resumes all kind of tended to have you go, this guy, and then the third, and then, okay, and then you look all the way back over to the left at Peyton again. And that was when spring practice started. He's out there getting reps. And with Walker White, no matter how talented the kid is, and boy is he, he's a freshman who should be in high school. Like, he's a college – I say this all the time. I don't know. Saturday, Auburn had a spring game. There's a chance his high school had a prom. He's supposed to be going to Genghis today after he gets out of sixth period. Instead, he's looking at game film from him playing against college kids inside Jordan-Hare. So there's that. And then the other kids, Hank Brown, who he's had his moments. And I mean in games. And then Holden Garner, who is a lot more developed. You know what's not there? A Robbie Ashford type. Now, Robbie Ashford specifically was there, and that wasn't going to work, not for Hugh Freeze, and they both kind of knew it. And so he left. There's not a Robbie Ashford type. And what I'm saying is a kid who has played a decent amount of football, maybe has started some. He's got some experience. Folks, we see these kids all over college football now. Auburn brought in one of them from LSU. Tried to bring in another from Texas A&M. Like, we see this. Auburn did bring in one from Michigan State. Except it wasn't to compete or, like, Robbie Ashford's at South Carolina. There is no plans under the sun for him to take that job from Lenora Sellers. It's not strutting out. It's football. You can go out and take a job. Lord knows. But there is no thought on either side that we're bringing in the potential starter. It's, we need a Robbie Ashford type. Except instead of Robbie Ashford type, they swapped in whatever name would be relevant there as a guy who's played some football, isn't going to start, but, you know, he's there, and if something happens, we can turn to him. Well, that guy ain't at Auburn right now. I think when the portal opens and it looks like the first 15 minutes of Saving Private Ryan, there's going to be a lot of Robbie Ashford types to be had. Wouldn't surprise me if Auburn got one. I don't know, five scholarship quarterbacks? Well, does that sound like a lot? Well, there probably wouldn't be five scholarship quarterbacks. Like, one of these guys would leave, which, here's the thing for Hugh Freeze, one of them probably going to leave anyway. So that's the back and forth, the player and the coach. Neither of them has full faith and trust, and neither of them should. And against the backdrop of all that, They had a spring game. All four quarterbacks played, and all four quarterbacks had, like, legit fair opportunities out there with like teammates. A couple of them had Cam Coleman. In fact, Cam Coleman had probably the biggest play of the entire day, and he got in the end zone on a 49-yard completion from Hank Brown. And that's just, and then Cam Coleman, by everybody's takeaway, that guy's an NFL player. Just like continue to age. Instead of being 18, be 21, and then the LA Chargers are going to say, we take Cam Coleman. So that's what's ahead. As for the quarterbacks, they all played and they all made some plays. None of them turned the ball over. And with whatever the fair dose of a quarterback being beyond the line of scrimmage Auburn has, that's not nothing, folks, because there's going to be rushing attempts. And there were no turnovers. So the interceptions, that's the one that you just look at the number, and that's the one that can get out of hand. But there were no turnovers overall. And so the takeaway right now is I would expect a Robbie Ashford type. Not necessarily his skill set. I'm saying a guy who's played some and would have the understanding, you're just coming here to get away from where you were, and this is a fresh start, and it won't look like failure if you're standing on the bench or if you're standing on the sidelines. If you continue to stand on the sidelines at Auburn, if you're Robbie Ashford, people look at you and go, well, that kid stayed. If you stand on the sidelines in Columbia, South Carolina, they're like, oh, Robbie Ashford, he's played some. Yay for us. Totally different vibe. Wouldn't surprise me in the least if that's the direction Auburn goes, because one or two or whomever leaves the Tigers program. And so when I say the best news possible, it's still the best news possible, and it's true for Auburn. There's your budding depth chart. Peyton Thorne had, again, going back to last Monday, Hugh Freeze said pole position. That going into fall camp, nothing will happen between now and fall camp, and he'll be the pole position come August 1st. Well, that's going to last until the beginning of the season. And as you look through the breakdown of that depth chart, which will be Peyton, a Robbie Ashford type, and then two of the three who are there now, Peyton Thorne is going to be the starter, barring something unforeseen, and he is likely to be much improved this season. The issue is that's never guaranteed less for the overall season achievement of the team. Now, when I say he's almost certain to be better in the coming season, he started 37 games now in college, and he's passed for more than 8,000 yards. And like he's at last year, that rushing total at Auburn with some pop plays against good teams that you looked at him and went, all right, well, that's kind of why we're in the game. The offense isn't playing well, and we have nothing going through the air, but you made a couple of plays, Peyton Thorne. And I'm going to tell you something else that not nothing. The kid stayed. It would be very easy for him to go, all right, JT Daniels, I'm on to school three or four. And he didn't. And so he and Hugh Freeze have kind of, and maybe at different times it looked like they were in separate boats, but they were going the same way. And you look now, and the seas look a little calmer, and they're still kind of going the same way. So when I tell you he will be better, this is the Graham Mertz principle. This is the same thing I was talking about for a Florida State fan with DJU, that no matter what else you get, you will get the best possible DJU versus what Jonathan Smith got and what Dabo got, because neither of those guys got a quarterback with 40 career starts. This will be, just on that one level, the best Peyton Thorne possible, because this one has 38 starts. And so no coach, including Hugh Freeze, has ever had a Peyton Thorne entering the season with 38 starts. So that is just a number, and if you're thinking, well, yeah, duh, at some point, it takes over. At some point, you're Graham Mertz. And at some point last year, when everyone realized, I don't know, it might have been after the Georgia game, the season's kind of in the toilet, and it might be going further that way, because the Georgia game, you're like, yeah, okay, we didn't hold on for that one, and it got kind of ugly, and now look at the rest of them. Florida State's undefeated still. But Graham Mertz started to stand out for the season he was having against the backdrop of an offensive line that had fits and starts and a secondary that we've talked about, just horrible tackling. They can't stop the run and just all kinds of bad stuff. So against all of that and a curious use of running backs, so curious, one of them said, Athens, here I come. Graham Mertz put together, I mean, just a wizard of a season. On a string, now on a intermediate string, but I mean that, and Billy Napier's talked about it. He's like, in this year, the next step, peeling the top off, more aggressive and further downfield and all that. On the intermediate string, yes, sir. Graham Mertz was fabulous. And part of it was because of his experience. That's the thing, folks. Now, I'm going to tell you a difference. If a quarterback is a Jordan Travis take over a game sort of great, that's a different story, okay? Like Bo Nix, Caleb, folks, there were plenty of quarterbacks in college football last year who were transfers and came in as spirit, and they were great. It wasn't because of their experience. When you see somebody play like Bo Nix, that's not because, oh, okay, now he really understands football and the experience category's being maxed out. It's clear. Watch him play. That's the experience taking over. No, it's not. That was Bo Nix looking around going, all right, I'm a little bit older now, and I have better teammates, and I may have better coaching, and we have more on the line, and just like all this stuff built up, and he's insanely skilled. And Caleb and Jordan Travis, insanely skilled. That's a different thing. If experience is right near the top of the list of why a QB's play is so much better, you know what that normally looks like? It's two things. Drastic reduction in turnovers, and to a lesser degree, an increase in completion percentage. That ain't what Bo Nix was out there doing the past 2 years. All right, he was dominating, folks, and that was physical, just overwhelming physical skills as a QB. When I'm talking this other part, that's the Peyton Thorne thing, okay? Peyton is not going to overwhelm you and lead the SEC in rushing and throw 35 touchdowns, and that's not it. When you saw Graham Mertz, and what did I say? It's like 6-7 games in. You're like, oh, wow, Graham Mertz had a pretty good season. It snuck up. It had to tap me on the shoulder and go, been waiting for you to notice. And you're like, oh, Graham Mertz's season. How you been? Oh, pretty good, I see. That's different. Jordan Travis, he grabbed you by the throat week one and said, I'm a Heisman finalist. Now, the final part, so it's the best news possible still. Why'd you say still? When I say it's less best, folks, I'm not meaning to mitigate this in the least. I'm talking about the game has changed. If you told me going into last season that Spence Rattler would play for South Carolina the way he did, I was like, well, check that box, and that means it's going to be at least as good as it was in 22, maybe even better. It wasn't. Not overall season achievement of the team. And Spence Rattler, even against Columbia burning, people were like, well, that kid hung in there. I'm more impressed. If you told me going into the season that Graham Mertz wouldn't be a turnover fest like Chuck said, and then Chuck, he won't turn the ball over nearly as much, I would have taken that and been curious. If you'd have given me his actual numbers, was it 24 touchdowns and 3 picks? Folks, if you'd have told me Graham, I might have had them winning 9 or 10 games. They didn't. So it's still the best news possible. Your quarterback's about to be as good as he has ever been. And it's true for Auburn this year with Peyton Thorne. You're about to get the best Peyton Thorne ever. And, I mean, we're going to see an improvement. This is going to be a much more overall productive quarterback for the Tigers. It's coming. Wait till September. It's here. It's less the best news. It's less impactful now. And I want to say I have no idea. It's the raggedy nature of football now based around name, image, likeness, and player movement and portal such. So that means that guy, even the quarterback, has been affected by player movement and just kind of throwing all-star teams together, at least trying to. That's the bigger picture there. But QB, it's still the news you want. Just understand that it's not as transformational in a guaranteed way as it once would have been. So good news for Auburn, because again, they emerge and everybody moves on, and expect, you know, plus one, minus one is some possible math for the QB depth chart. But at the top of it is going to be Peyton Thorne. All right, we're going to break and jump into it next.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
It's a Monday on Chuck Oliver Show, and there were other spring games. Clemson had a spring game. Kate Klubnik didn't turn the ball over, which, I don't know, does that mean that you don't have ball-hawking corners? The backup, the kid that they liked last year, I think they liked him until the spring game, actually, and then he wasn't so great. But Christopher Vazina, I think his name is. And he threw a pick to a defensive end on a wheel route. So that's not, you know, the best thing. So we'll talk Clemson and whatever. So there were other spring games. But there also was, I don't know, all week, all year, it's all college football. Except when I talk movement in the world of college basketball. Hey, how surprised were you? John Calipari, I'm at Kentucky. They didn't fire me. I'm just leaving, and I'm going to Fayetteville, Arkansas. I heard that somebody from the Tyson Chicken family wanted Calipari and their boys from back in the day somehow, whatever. And this is real. Like, could have knocked me over with a feather this morning. What an amazing story to come out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's a little surprising. Just there have been rumors for about a day that that might be where things are going. You know, what's wild, Chuck, is you think about the dominoes that had to fall for this to happen. I mean, if you really want to look at it, first, the Pac-12 has to blow up. Then, while they're looking for lifeboats, the ACC has to be willing to take on some schools that otherwise would have never had anything to do with the ACC. And SMU's like, hey, we'll give you 9 years of no revenue. Just let us in the boat, please, please, please. And the ACC's like, I guess. So SMU fires their basketball coach after 2 years. They get the USC basketball coach to leave because he knows he's 1 year away from getting whacked if things don't get better. Yep. That leads to Musselman to USC, which leads to this job being open. And even then, Chuck, they got turned down by reportedly Beard from Ole Miss and K-State's coach before they even got to the point where they thought this was worth pursuing. I mean, so, yeah, it just was one of those things that sounded like some big talking booster with a big wallet. We can get anybody we want. We can get John Calipari. But they're actually doing it, which is kind of bananas.
And there is no buyout on his end, which – I don't know. Is that a flex move? Is that a pants grab by Kentucky? Ain't nobody leaving us. I mean, I've told you the ultimate boss move in college sports, which I think changed, was it two summers ago? The SEC didn't have an exit fee. Like, who's leaving us? It's never a bad thing just to kind of get it in writing. And just to kind of, I believe Billy Gillespie may tell you that himself, speaking of Kentucky basketball. But one of these things that the contract to have him be fired, everybody knew that number, $33 million. It never occurred to us until the past day or two to check the number. What if Calipari just goes palms up, says, I'm out, I got a new gig, and he says he's out, he's got a new gig. So huge moves inside the conference. And now the thing is, who could – Arkansas hired John Calipari. If you would ask me who they were going to go to replace Eric Musselman, I wouldn't have said John Calipari. I would have said the list of names that are being mentioned for jobs less than even Kentucky, because now they're talking about Bruce Pearl and Billy Donovan and names like that. I wouldn't mention any of those names for Arkansas, and they pulled it off.
Yeah, the interesting thing, I remember 2019, Calipari did the deal that basically set him up for this. At the time, there was noises being made that, hey, maybe UCLA was going to try and bring him out there, have a showman personality, good fit for what they needed out there. Didn't obviously wind up happening. And so they do this long-term deal. Chuck, there was a report last night indicating that Calipari at least was nosing around the Ohio State job. Remember, Ohio State did something unusual. They fired their coach midway during the Big Ten schedule. Most teams wait till the season's over and do it then. They did it early. And the Calipari, even in February, was maybe nosing around that job, but the time just didn't work out. In fact, as it turned out, Ohio State stayed in-house for their coach because the interim did so much better than the guy they got rid of. So it seems pretty clear that things just weren't working anymore in Lexington. And they weren't willing to pay $33 million for him to go away, particularly when they're paying Stoops what they're paying him. They just said, nah, we're not going to pay $33 million for you to go away. But, Chuck, I don't think they mind. In fact, I think there's some people at Kentucky, if Arkansas called them up and said, look, we'll take him, but we won't take him unless you give us $5 million, I think there's some people in Kentucky who would have written the $5 million check just to end the relationship and get out from under that contract.
There are folks, absolutely, in Lexington or connected there who had at least taken initial steps to raise the 33, and then that got kind of blunted. Here is my question to you. When the Alabama football job opened, for instance, they got calls from the actual real representatives of the coaches who the Alabama football program would have actually hired, like the reps of the legit possibilities. They called Alabama, hey, job's open. I think Kentucky has to do the calling here. I don't think that there people are like the type of coach they would actually like. Bruce Pearl's people ain't reaching out to them. Billy Donovan's people, I think, is the exact opposite of what happened in Alabama.
I'm not sure I agree on that. Maybe for some, but I don't.
For,
I think they're
who they would hire.
I think there's some people they'd hire that will absolutely reach out to them. I think absolutely that'll happen. I will just say, with regards to some of the calls that they're going to have to make, like Jay Wright is not reaching out to them.
No.
I don't think Jay Wright will take the job either. But if they want Jay Wright, if they even want to try and get on his radar, yeah, I think they've got to reach out to a Jay Wright. But
I
that's the thing. I never believed Donovan would coach again in college basketball. For those who don't know, I covered Donovan basically most of his run, except for the last 2-3 years at Florida. I covered his run. I know the guy pretty well. I know people around him. Last year, Chuck, was the first time somebody in his circle told me he at least asked about a job. He didn't pursue it, but it was the first time somebody reached out. He asked their opinion. What did they think of it? So would I rule out that I don't expect him to take it, but if they asked, especially if he thinks that he's going to part ways with the Bulls, would I rule it out? I would not. And it's the first time I would have said that in 10 years.
Very colorful sideline language if Billy Donovan returns to the SEC. A latter-day Gary Williams, if that means anything for you, and a great coach who honestly turned that Florida program into consistently something that it had never even been and most programs just even dream of.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
We got a full-up day on the Duncan Newsmaker line. Why? Well, it's April, and in the world of the Chuck Oliver Show, that means spring football. And we had some games over the weekend. Auburn had a game, and I think they're closer to cementing the quarterback direction in 2024, and that may include more than just one name, may include more than two. It's just like their setting right now. It's their situation and big five-star who they want to take over. That is not the case at Clemson. There is a definite preferred outcome, and it involves one guy putting a hammer lock on this thing and, I don't know, becoming like ACC Offensive Player of the Year, maybe. Let's head out for our Truist reporter on Clemson from TigerIllustrated.com. That's a Rivals effort. It's Larry Williams. Larry, welcome back to the program, friend. How have you been?
Great, man. Glad to be back with you.
All right, Cade Klubnik, he was a big five-star from the state of Texas, and you get a QB from Texas, five stars. Like, I like all of this. Tell me where he stands now following a day where it was a little good and a little bad and some passes, et cetera. He was like 500, I think, exactly with a pick maybe.
Yes. And I mean, a little good, a little bad, and then a little third stringer named Trent Tierman who stole the show. Local kid from Daniel High School. Tierman went, he played for both teams, went back and forth, and early, and I'm not trying to, you know, sure, read an enormous amount into a spring game. You know, the obvious disclaimers have to apply, but man, it was hard not to be impressed with what Tierman brought, which was assertiveness and throw it on time and playmaking and confidence and things that have been in short supply at the quarterback position the last 3 years. DJ Uiagalelei for two, and then Klubnik's up and down, bulky showing last season. And so I'm not saying Tierman, you know, should be the starting quarterback, but it's going to be an interesting 5 months to sit here and talk about, because what I saw was Tierman giving this offense something that it has needed and has lacked. And I don't think it's crazy to say at the very least that Tierman made a strong case to be the number two quarterback ahead of Christopher Vezina, the Birmingham kid.
Yep.
But with Klubnik, and I don't think Klubnik played poorly. I think he had some really good moments, but man, there were just a lot of times where the DBs had their hand on footballs that he threw. And that's just, you know, balls in jeopardy is just, you know, that's been a recurring theme over the last 3 years at the quarterback position. And so to answer your question, no, it wasn't the hammerlock, I guess, that display that probably a lot of people wanted. But again, one practice out of 15, you know, and I'm not privy to the other. Nobody really else on the outside is privy to the other 14. But I think it is safe to say that quarterback still very much under the microscope as Clemson prepares for that opener in Atlanta against Georgia.
No doubt about it. And there's always, you know, in a spring, it's funny, the quarterback, if he doesn't play, it's this huge story. If anybody else doesn't play, it's like, that's spring. Phil Maffa, I mean, there's context to who was on the field and who wasn't, you know, context to the quarterback's performances, I guess. The tight end wasn't, Tyler Brown wasn't, there were some other guys. How many of the names on offense who maybe didn't play or didn't play a lot, how much of that was it's spring, they don't need that, we're just going to let them stand on the sidelines?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Tyler Brown has been recovering from foot surgery, so that's a bit of a different story than Maffa and Burningstool and a couple of others, Barrett Carter. But I would say this, you know, as we're sort of carrying it back to the quarterback position, you know, if the premise of some of those guys not playing is, all right, well, we already know what he can do on the part of the coaching staff, well, then kind of interesting that, you know, Klubnik's out there. You know, I mean, I think that is a statement of the fact that, you know, as uplifting as it was for him to lead the offense down the field for the game-winning touchdown against Kentucky in the Gator Bowl, this kid still has an enormous amount to prove. They need competition there, which, you know, Vezina was the one who was feeling that pressure for most of the spring. But I just think it's really interesting now with Tierman, with Tierman's emergence. And I will add that this is not a new thing with Tierman. I've been sort of, you know, fairly occasionally, I guess, suggesting since August that from the folks I talked to behind the scenes, like, this Tierman kid can play now. Like, has made a case for the starting job necessarily, but just saying he should not be written off because he is an absolute gamer, doesn't have a rocket arm, doesn't have the prototypical size. But when you turn on the TV or when you're there in the stands and you see the offense moving right down the field and generating a spark thanks largely to him, it's impossible to just gloss over.
And he played for both teams too, didn't he?
Yes.
Which is something in a spring game. Sometimes you get guys that, like, you know, play running back for both teams, you know, defensive end, offensive line, whatever, when you're trying to stitch together. And that's another challenge because, like, who did he play with? He played with everybody.
Correct. And before he came in, you know, the offense was sputtering, and which is understandable, I should say, because the defensive line, I mean, they have some dudes. Peter Woods didn't play because he's recovering from mono, but they still have this defense remains salty despite what they lost. Anyway, they're sputtering with Vezina on one team, Klubnik on the other. And then all of a sudden, Peterman comes in, zips down the field, and then late in the first half, Klubnik had finally, shown some significant positives in helping the offense overcome being behind the chains and making some really nice decisions and throws and showing good pocket awareness and getting his offense to the end zone. Well, then here comes Peterman switching sides and going with taking Vezina's spot, and it was the lesser equipped of the two offenses. They sort of arranged it to where Klubnik had the most weapons around him, but then Peterman was able to lead the other team right down the field. And so again, I'm not one of those guys who's saying, okay, August 31st in Atlanta, Peterman better be the guy. I'm certainly that's just a little crazy. But on the other hand, I think it's crazy to sit there and say, oh, that was nothing. You know, it's just a spring game. You know, we should just ignore that, because I'm not, frankly.
Flip it around to defense and just a couple of questions. Peter Woods really going to be a defensive end? Is that a thing?
Yes, that's a thing. I don't think he'll be exclusively a defensive end. I think he certainly has the quickness and the explosiveness to play on the edge. Probably needs to lose some weight, which he'll spend the rest of this offseason doing. But I thought it was really uplifting for Chris Rump's defensive end room in Woods' absence that they really had. A.J. Hoffler was a menace. Jaheim Lawson, who is Shaq, is kin to Shaq Lawson, really showed out. They have some others. And so even though they've suffered some attrition at end, and that is viewed reasonably so as a thin position, they still have some specimens out there who can make some plays. I guess that would then call into question, which is the typical inner squad dilemma. Like, if one side's showing out, then, and at defensive ends in this case, then what does it say about your backup offensive tackles? They still probably have a ways to go there, I would think. But, you know, I think at all three levels, even though this Wes Goodwin's defense lost Jeremiah Trotter, Xavier Thomas, Nate Wiggins, certainly very valuable pieces, I think they feel really good about where they are, and that just speaks to the level of recruiting they've had over the last few years.
Wrapping up, Larry Williams, TigerIllustrated.com, it's Rivals. The freshman, Sammy Brown, the five-star freshman from kind of sort of near Kirby. He's there for spring. What's he look like?
Man, he looked really comfortable and confident, which is saying something, because, you know, it's I don't want to say easy, but less difficult to come in right away as a mid-year at, say, receiver, cornerback. Linebacker is just a different deal, you know, especially in this system. There just haven't been many first-year guys at Clemson over the last 10 to 15 years make a significant impact, and I'm not forecasting that based on what I saw 2 days ago, but just the fact that he was able to look the part and look confident and play fast and make some really physical plays at the second level, I was impressed. But if we're talking about the freshmen, this group of mid-years, I think Bryant Wesco, the receiver from Texas, he's going to be a nice piece for this passing game that really is kind of in desperate need of more explosiveness and downfield threats. He's small, but he can move, and he's got some shake, and he just looks like a natural, and he can catch the ball. So that's really if we're talking about the freshman, that's the biggest object of intrigue, at least in my mind right now.
Yeah, and he certainly took advantage of the snaps there. Let me just ask Dr. Larry Williams, Antonio Williams back to 100%, like where on the 0 to 100% would you put him?
100%, man. He really battled a high ankle sprain last season, missed a lot of time, but he was he came back for the bowl game, didn't really have to, but really wanted to, and I think that speaks to what's between the ears and what he's made of. And he looked really fast, really explosive, and really confident the other day. So I think he's fine.
You know, I got used to big receiver jump ball, like being the Clemson approach. And when Williams, and you mentioned Wesco, the freshman there, and it's just a little different profile than, like, I don't know, you know, Mike Williams or somebody running downfield and going, you know, hi, I'm bigger than most college kids. So it's just it's a little different look, but it can be just as effective. Larry, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate the up-close perspective.
Anytime, sir. Thank you.
Larry Williams, TigerIllustrated.com, our Clemson reporter on the Duncan Newsmaker line. Just a great job there, and they had their spring game. And when I say big receiver jump ball, that's like T. Higgins. That's what that was. Deion Kane back in the day. They've had a bunch of them there, and you know what a Clemson receiver looked like, and now these guys look different. And I don't know that Antonio Williams was ever really supposed to have his opportunity. In fact, he wasn't. It was injuries to guys like one of the Collins kids or both of them. Adam Randall's back. He had a big catch. But Adam Randall's another one. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's a Clemson receiver. Or Frank Ladson. Joseph Ngata. Oh, that's – yes. Big giant kid who goes downfield and just he doesn't look like a college kid, and it just stopped. The scholarships kept going. The kids kept showing up. The production wasn't there. And so it's just a different profile, and the big issue, so they'll figure that out. They'll have receivers. The issue is with Klubnik, and he was just kind of average. He made some plays, and he missed a guy, and he threw a pick, and he hit. Actually, I said Adam Randall made some plays. One of them was a 55-yard big play downfield, and it was a pass from Klubnik. So Klubnik did that, but otherwise just kind of a blah day in a day where it can be set up for him to succeed. And because he didn't have Phil Maffa, well, I don't think that really is an excuse. I don't. So it's that's where you stand with Clemson, and it's all done now, and they'll get ready for August camp, and then they'll open in Atlanta against the Georgia Bulldogs. And so you'll find out pretty soon exactly where they stand for 2024. We break. We'll wrap up hour one next.
The Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's a blue collar, tough guy. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's a proven leader, winner, and his presence is felt. He's just got a poise about him, a confidence about him that you love. But he's got a lot of grit. You know, he's a really tough kid. Couldn't be happier, you know, with what he's doing and with what CJ and Lex are doing. You know, we feel like everyone's really improved.
State head coach, and that was him after Saturday's annual spring game. Oh, I'm laughing. I'm about to give you another detail about that, but I mentioned Auburn's spring game, and on Friday I said that it was 24 last year. I went back and looked. It was 24 last year. This year, the way they structured it, Hugh Freeze decided to structure it was the defense was up 27-0 to start the game, and then, of course, the offense gets the ball the whole time, so you don't have two teams. It's a great way to – in fact, I think it's the best way to do it. The only way to do it better is to have a cleanup practice or two post-spring game, but because that way you don't have to divide anybody. It's like all offense all the time, so that's even better. A lot more flexibility and, you know, player combinations that are real. So 28-27 was the Auburn final. The Auburn offense came back and won. Clemson, oh, gosh, I had looked. I forgot how they did theirs. I can tell you the NC State spring game, they had a red team and a white team, and the red team won 51-7. Heath, do you know the official sponsor of the NC State spring game?
I do not.
NC State had its annual spring game, comma, this is from the university, presented by One Pack Name Image Likeness Collective. The organized systemic effort to pay football players and recruits is now the official on-the-game program sponsor of your spring game. Folks, when I say, like, rolling in their graves, and it's not just a Bear Bryant be rolling in his grave. No. I'm talking about coaches who cheated be rolling in their graves. Okay? Who was the – was it Ron Meyer? Was he the coach at SMU?
Yep.
Ron Meyer right now? Pete Rose had a great line a couple of weeks ago. And I'm not saying it applies. It was just funny. He said, oh, I should have just had an interpreter. Be in the Hall of Fame right now. Folks, when I say so-and-so rolling in their graves, it's not even that. It's not like, you know, the like Lavelle Edwards. I can't believe this and, you know, Newt Rockne or whomever. I'm talking Charlie Pell. Charlie Pell would have said, if liberation for college athletes would have come, look, Google him, Wikipedia, Charlie Pell. Jackie Sherrill says, I would have never had to leave Mississippi State, Texas A&M, or Pitt. I was talking about John Calipari. And apparently, this hasn't been announced yet, but I guess it's going to happen now, whatever. He's going to be the coach at Arkansas. There was a story that at Memphis, he had a point guard named Derrick Rose. And who took his SAT was always the big thing. It was, how did Derrick Rose get into Memphis State? Which, honestly, you're struggling to get to Memphis State. Who took the SAT? And here's the thing about John Calipari. Heath, did you know this? Like, John Calipari, he never got sanctioned by the NCAA.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he has, like, skated. He's the Teflon coach, like, whatever. I don't know what he's done or not. He's never been charged. Jackie Sherrill, best in my memory, at Pitt, A&M, and Mississippi State. Now, the program got hit, and he got out of town just ahead of the posse. But I don't believe Jackie himself ever got hit with anything. And so, like, Jackie's got to be looking around going, in the days of College Station in the mid-80s, imagine what I would have built with Name, Image, Likeness. Folks, we have a spring game brought to you by One Pack Name, Image, Likeness Collective. And by the way, that's all caps. By the way, that's all proper nouns on their letterhead. So that's where we exist in April of 2024. What up, Heath?
Well, there's the big thing that everybody's talking about at Kentucky, Chuck. Calipari's on the list, too. But honestly, I think the word coming down from Mark Stoops over the weekend that because they've got 8 defensive linemen out for various reasons, they're not going to be able to have a traditional spring game. I got to imagine that's got a lot of people shook as well. But that is true, for the record, that Mark Stoops says they will come up with something entertaining for the fans and let them see a practice. But if we're looking for anything that's going to resemble an actual idea of what the new Kentucky offense is going to look like or anything like that, since they don't have a defensive lineman available, basically it's not going to happen. So I'm sure that's breaking Stoops's heart that he can't be accountable for displaying some of that for the fans. But I was curious to see. This feels like this is something that happens like every year. Like, it's no secret there's some coaches that aren't really into having spring games. It's just sort of a tradition, and now maybe a recruiting thing, so you sort of have to do something. Stoops has always been one of those guys that it feels like if you can give him any excuse to not have it, he's going to probably not have it. And so he's jumping on that opportunity again. So we'll see what they come up with, but it will not be a spring game in Lexington again. I'm sure that's a lead topic on all the shows here today.
And that's honestly, I've said that before, that when a new coach gets somewhere, the new coach, he wants to have a spring game because he can structure stuff to whatever you didn't do well last year, which in modern days, why do you get fired? Can't score. Well, by golly, we're going to score in a spring game. And you can kind of structure it, and it can be a PR thing and back to campus, and you can push the button. I want a sellout in the stadium. And you better get it if you call for it. But that, you can structure something and you kind of want it. After about the second spring game, you don't want it. You would rather just have a practice because you only get 15 of them. With the new condensed schedule postseason, post regular season before you may go to a bowl, a lot of teams, I will say half plus one don't take their full 15 practices then anyway, so you would rather make the most of it. And when you put on the exhibition after the first couple of years, it absolutely moves to the back burner over just getting more things done. When I talk about having a wrap-up practice, the 15th is supposed to be the cleanup practice, not the game where suddenly you put guys in different situations that maybe they hadn't been in. And so you're right. Normally it's the offensive line, but Mark Stoops choosing a different way. And at the basketball school, they will have no spring game.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.